giving away ideas, getting great guests, growing your business, and more. It's time for another round of 20 questions with Nick. What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. Because your 9 to 5 may make you a living, but your 5 to 9 makes you alive. It's the business podcast. You can actually apply, now part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. I've got a 20 questions episode for you today, diving into the old listener mailbag. As is customary on these episodes, I've pulled out 20 questions from the Side Hustle Nation community over the last few months. I think I've got 18 actually to go through today. And I'm going to attempt to answer those for your benefit and entertainment. This is the 15th installment in this series, probably the longest running series in the history of the Side Hustle Show. So you'll be able to find all the links to all the resources mentioned at sidehustlenation.com/Q&A15. Now, if you're new to the show, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. You might be thinking, Nick, you got 580 something episodes. Where should I start? Well, I would love to have you binge on the entire archives. I also understand that might not be realistic. That might not be the fastest path to get you where you want to go either. So what to do instead is go to hustle.show and get your own personalized money-making playlist. How it works is you just answer a few short multiple choice questions and I'll give you a custom curated playlist you can add to your device. You can learn the tactics that work and you can go forth and make some more money. Once again, that's at hustle.show. Question one is, if these ideas worked, why are you giving them away? Now, I love this question and kind of had a similar fear a decade ago. What if I came up with something I thought was like really unique? I wanted to protect that because my thought was, well, anybody I tell, all of a sudden they're going to stop what they're doing and they're going to start it and they're going to do it better or faster than me. And of course, it sounds kind of silly today because everybody else is too wrapped up in their own world to go, you know, drop everything and outright steal your idea. And that's one reason why I'm giving them away. It's like, I'm busy doing my own thing. Like, I think this is cool, but I don't really have the time or bandwidth to start it. And the more important thing is that ideas are everywhere. It's the execution that really counts. We've talked about that on the show. So I'll give away ideas all day long. It's just on you to go out and make them happen. That's the hard part. In the case of Side Hustle Show guests sharing their story, it's an abundant world out there with unlimited different niches. So should you go and do exactly what they're doing exactly where they're doing it? Probably not. But I think you can apply the tactics and strategies to make something similar work. And I get that feedback all the time. Hey, even when the episode isn't super relevant to me, I almost always pick up a little nugget I can use. So that's question one. If these ideas work, why are you giving them away? Question two, my only hang up to starting is not knowing how it will work with taxes and what the government will throw at me for self-employment. So it is true that there are going to be some bureaucratic hurdles you're going to have to jump through, maybe some extra paperwork filing, but those are solvable problems. Don't let that be what holds you back, because the upside of a business that works is so much greater than whatever annual LLC filing paperwork, filing fee that you have to do. And on the tax front, the good news here is that there's no such thing as the 100% marginal tax bracket. So even though your side hustle is taxable, every dollar that you earn will have you better off than if you didn't earn it. So I understand these are concerns, but they are solvable problems and they become a very small segment of your mental bandwidth once you've got a business that's working. Question three came in from Kelly. She says, my husband and his friend's podcast has grown to a decent following, 1,000 downloads an episode, 280,000 views on YouTube last year, but it's been 4 years with no income and we need to change that. Part of that is growing the audience using tactics I've learned from your show, but part of it is advertising. And I'm reaching out to companies and I'm met with radio silence. I'd love to know how you got your first advertiser and what you focused on in order to continue to secure advertisers. Well, Kelly, first of all, thank you so much for tuning in. My first official sponsor, I want to say 2016, maybe early 2016, was Teachable. And I'm pretty sure it was from a direct relationship with Ankur, the founder. He'd been a guest on the show back when it was still called Fedora. Teachable is such a better name, and some other early employees at the company. And I feel you. So because I feel like I ran into the same wall when I first began reaching out to potential sponsors. I thought this was such a genius idea. I had my assistant go through the last 2 months of Entrepreneurs on Fire archives, create this spreadsheet of all their sponsors. And I went through and identified the 5 or 10 that I thought would be a great fit, started reaching out through cold email. That's where the trail kind of went cold. It was just really difficult to get through to the right decision makers. And some people did reply and they said, well, it looks like a fit, but we do all our ad buys through this third-party agency and our budget is already allocated for the next quarter. What worked better was setting up shop on sites like Advertisecast, like Gumball.fm, Podcorn is another one. Some of these kind of like almost ad brokerage sites where they take a fee, yes, but they kind of build these pseudo networks. Advertisers, in most cases, aren't looking for onesie twosies. I want to spend $500 here. I want to spend $1,000 here. They're like, I want to buy a million impressions, right? How am I going to get in front of this big audience? It's just the way the economics work makes sense to go through some of these services that can help put you into a bundle and put you in front of those different advertisers. That, and along with connecting with other kind of like media brokerage services that can proactively pitch your show. Adopter Media is one. True Native Media is another. I came across earlier this year a site called Stack Influence as a potential way to connect with brands and just showing up at conferences. Some FaceTime always helps too, that those brands might be attending, or your target brands, your Dream 100 brands. I will say this, for a lot of shows, the best monetization is probably some combination of selling your own products, your own services, or a membership, just because unless you're doing it daily and you have a big audience, like the sponsorship math may not really work out in your favor unless you're kind of in this B2B niche with like really high customer acquisition costs. I think maybe it could work out there. And we'll have an example of that on the show in the next few weeks. But some episodes or some examples that might be useful to explore. Episode 524, this is Megan Champion. We talked about monetizing a small podcast. In her case, it was kind of a parenting podcast for moms. And so she started a membership called Moms Together, I want to say. That was kind of her primary monetization strategy. I remember talking with Garrett and Sabrina from the I Know Dino podcast, Dinosaur podcast. Absolutely love this story. They were monetizing through sponsorships, but also through Patreon and some of their own product sales. That was episode 502. If you want to learn how a part-time dinosaur podcast became a full-time business for those two. And 229, an older episode with my buddy Steve Young, who runs App Master, kind of an app marketing themed podcast. But in that show, we talked about how that turned into multiple income streams. And a big chunk of that was his agency, like, hey, hire us to do app marketing for you. So lots of different ways to go about it, but that's kind of how I've approached it. Question four was from Dimitri, also podcast related. I've just relaunched my podcast and was curious how you estimate the LTV and the CAC for a podcast. So LTV is customer lifetime value and CAC is the cost of acquisition. How much does it cost to acquire a customer? Dimitri says, I am tempted to invest in Facebook ads for some episodes, but wondering how am I ever going to measure the ROI on that? So Dimitri, good to hear from you. Longtime listener. Definitely tricky to measure for a podcast. A little bit of context was we talked about this on our episode with Ben and Kevin from Yo Pretty Boy, their skincare brand. And the direct-to-consumer math is, I want to see my customer lifetime value is greater than my CAC, my cost of acquisition. I'm going to spend all the money I can acquiring a customer, because over time, and there's obviously some timing of cash flow issues here, if I'm spending all this money upfront to acquire a customer and I may not realize that lifetime value for months or years down the road. In the podcast context, we talked a little bit about this with Chris Hutchins on how he grew All the Hacks. That was episode 576. And some of the math was like, well, let's say an incremental 1,000 listeners is worth $100 an episode if we assume four sponsors at a $25 CPM. So every listener is worth 10 cents. And it's rarely going to be this direct, but also like recognizing that they might listen to hundreds of episodes over their lifetime as a subscriber or as a listener to your show. So you start to do some math on that, what that might be worth. Now, some podcast apps are going to let you advertise. You can go out and buy sponsors. Maybe you have a way to do it through Facebook ads. Maybe you can do it through Overcast, my podcast listening app of choice. And some of their guidelines are like $5 to $20 to acquire a subscriber. I think with those types of numbers, it makes it hard to make the math work on a sponsorship model alone. So going back to Kelly's question, if you've got other monetization methods, if you've got cheaper acquisition costs, maybe you've got a strong word of mouth engine, then that game can change. But you can think about this math in just about any business that you're in. We talk a lot about organic marketing methods, how to get people into your product or service for free. That's one side of the equation. You're paying with your time in a lot of cases there. And then on the other side, how can you make your product or service stickier so that you can improve your LTVs, your lifetime values? And the farther you can pull those numbers apart, the more margin you've got to work with in the middle. More great questions and hopefully more great answers right after this. This edition of The Side Hustle Show is sponsored by Squarespace. You probably already know that Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, but it turns out Squarespace is a lot more than just a pretty website builder. For example, did you know that Squarespace has a new AI-guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint? I was playing around with this the other day. It's pretty slick and might be the fastest way to get a professionally curated layout tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Did you know that Squarespace can also host your online course? You can create the lessons that your audience is going to love, then you add your paywall and set the price. You can charge a one-time fee, you can sell subscriptions, and you can customize the whole thing to fit your brand. And finally, flexible payment options. Whether you're selling a course or a digital product or a physical product or your own services, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers by letting you accept credit cards, PayPal and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, you can even offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/sidehustle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. One thing a lot of smart entrepreneurs do is something I call intentional procrastination, saying, yes, that's important, but it's not urgent, or it's not the most important thing right now. And I do this all the time. You got to pick and choose where you put your focus. But one thing you really shouldn't wait on is setting up your term coverage life insurance. If this is something you've been procrastinating on, stop. It takes just a few minutes, and you can even do it on your phone. And with our sponsor, Ladder, their smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're instantly approved. Ladder is 100% digital. That means no doctors, no needles, and no paperwork when you're applying for $3 million in coverage or less. All you got to do is answer a few questions about your health in an easy online application. Ladder policies are issued by insurers with long, proven histories of paying claims. In fact, they're rated A and A+ by AM Best. And on top of that, customers love them. Ladder is rated 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel at any time. You can even get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. It's no secret, life insurance costs more the older you get. So now's the time to cross this off your list. Go to ladderlife.com/hustle today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/hustle, ladderlife.com/hustle. And big thanks to Ladder for sponsoring the show. Question 5 was from Dan. Have you considered sending your newsletter from Beehive? I've seen a ton of creators migrate over there recently. Well, Dan, I have been hearing more and more buzz about Beehive lately and have noticed some of their branding and links coming into my own inbox, but haven't looked too closely at it yet. The reason for that is it looks like a good newsletter platform, but lacking a lot of the automation tools that I am currently using inside ActiveCampaign. But if you run a newsletter business, maybe worth a look for you. We'll link Beehive up in the show notes, sidehustlenation.com/Q&A15. Question 6 was from Steve. He says, my experience and expertise are in the area of residential trim, carpentry, and cabinetry. I'm trying to figure out how to create new income streams and creative income opportunities. Any idea what that might look like for somebody with this background? Well, Steve, it's kind of funny because we just went through this spring a kitchen/downstairs remodel, and some sort of carpentry, cabinetry consultant might have been helpful to have, a project manager of sorts, something on the design side. We ended up doing a lot of the design ourselves. But yeah, I think there could be something around creating maybe first some DIY content on YouTube to help homeowners build confidence to tackle the projects themselves. I think that's a common path. Hey, I have this skill. Now I can help other people learn to do this skill versus me swinging hammers and doing it all myself, like a way to create something once and hopefully get paid for it over and over again in the form of either YouTube ad revenue or digital product sales. A couple examples from the DIY space. We had DIY Pete Sven on the show years ago. Somebody sent me woodworking for mere mortals the other day. Like, this guy's really blown up his channel. So that would be one option, kind of the DIY type of content. Another angle would be to create the training material for new professionals who want to get started in this niche. The example that comes to mind here is Brian Orr from HVAC School, helping other people kind of start their HVAC training school. Like, here's the science and the processes that you need to learn anyways. And we're going to do that in a helpful and digestible podcast format in his case. So that was kind of the content path that he went down. Another angle could be creating a marketing service or a website, social media service for other professionals in this niche, for other cabinetry and carpentry builders. I'm not exaggerating when I say our contractor's Instagram presence was a decision factor. It looked really great. It looked better than all of the competition. On the website front, a really interesting model I'll throw out is Ryan Golgoski's 180sites.com. I think 180 came from maybe his original price point, where instead of charging $5,000 upfront to build a website, and he started in the power wash, I'm going to build websites for power washers, like really, really interesting niche. But instead of charging this big upfront fee, he's like, look, I'm going to charge you 180, I'm going to charge you $200 a month for a period of 2 years. So he kind of flipped the pricing model on its head, built this up for recurring revenue for a period of time. And I think when we had recorded that episode, episode 550, he had just closed his first $100,000 month. It was crazy. I thought that was just such an interesting way to go out and sell it. And of course, as you build one, you start to build this kind of library of templates that you can use where your hourly rate starts to really, really improve there. I thought that was a really, really profitable, really cool example of a business that could be pivoted to a different niche, such as trim carpentry and some of these builder or contractor niches. And one final idea that I'll throw out is generating leads for other trusted service providers. It could be worthwhile since a remodel contract is worth quite a bit. And we've got episode 545 with Link Moser, where we talked a little bit more about this. He was doing this in kind of high-end vacation luxury real estate, where I'm going to take essentially a referral fee for kind of getting in front of this buyer's lead. And it was like, for not a lot of work, hey, I'm going to send this email introduction and kind of help walk this process through. In some cases, that could be worth 40, 50 grand. It's like, oh my gosh, crazy, crazy stuff for essentially a digital business, right? And I thought that was really interesting. So Steve, really appreciate the question. Lots of different routes that you could go there. Question 7, this one came in from Twitter. What's a parrot head? So I'm surprised I hadn't gotten this question earlier. This has been on my Twitter profile for years. A parrot head is a slang term for Jimmy Buffett fans. We grew up listening to his music because mom was a parrot head herself, and we being my brother and it rubbed off. Behind a lot of the well-known drinking anthems are some pretty thoughtful and sometimes pretty funny lyrics, and maybe most applicable for Side Hustle Show listeners is, I don't want to swim in a roped off sea. There's so much more to life than punching the clock at your roped off cubicle. And side note, Jimmy was a super savvy entrepreneur as well, worth an estimated $1 billion at the time of his death earlier this year. Not bad for an artist that a lot of people would have considered a one-hit wonder 45 years ago. So good work, Jimmy. You'll be missed. And yes, parrot head for life. Question 8 was from Duncan. He says, I'm looking to build my knowledge of SEO. What resources do you recommend? Also, do you recommend WordPress for building an affiliate site? Duncan, yes, WordPress is still the way that I would go. And the reason is, for content sites, it's the most proven and the most supported platform. Now, I would challenge the language around building a quote-unquote affiliate site. Instead, what if you could position it in your head as, I'm going to build the most helpful resource for a given audience, for a given niche audience, with affiliate relationships being one monetization strategy that I'm going to pursue. As far as SEO resources, lots of cool places to go check out. Niche Pursuits is a favorite of mine. The Authority Hacker guys are great. Brandon Gailey from Blogging Millionaire does an awesome job. Bjork at the Food Blogger Pro podcast, whether or not you're in the food blogging space, I think that's an interesting one. YouTube, you got the Project 24 guys, you got Matt Diggity. On top of that, Ahrefs, A-H-R-E-F-S, has a free blogging for business course. That is a good starting point for anybody. I'll take a moment here to plug my own SEO course. It's thetrafficcourse.com, especially for people, online business owners and bloggers who have been at it for a year or two and are looking to kind of revamp some of their existing content in a really intentional way. It could be a fit for you. Use promo code podcast for a special listener-only discount on that. Question 9 is from Johnny. This was in the Facebook group. He says, I'm looking for ways to grow my fitness photography side hustle. I've had some success so far just reaching out through Instagram DMs, but it's a numbers game and it feels a little spammy on my part. Well, Johnny, I like how you've already niched down your service. Hey, I do a fitness photography business. And I was instantly reminded of a friend of mine, Scott Colby, who for years, he ran these series of what he called fit for photos challenges, where participants would do like an 8 or 12 week fitness program. He was the personal trainer in this case. He wasn't the photographer. But then at the end, he would do this professional photo session where the participants could show off their new ripped body. Like, look at the, and he'd have before and after pictures to prove that his program worked. So there might be a strategic partnership here to be had with local personal trainers, either as like an add-on to their service, or just maybe they foot the bill, you know, for the first one, like to get those really great before and after pictures. I like this niche, and I think there's definitely an angle here. Question 10 is from Scott. He asks, how do you find these guests every week? Well, this was definitely a fear of mine when I started back in 2013. Am I going to run out of people to talk to? What did I just commit myself to? I got to do this every week. Luckily, 580 episodes later, that hasn't come to fruition. Like, there's always more side hustles coming across my desk than there are days in the week to have time to record. But how it started with my own small circle or network. My goal as a host is always to turn one listener into two by creating content that you hopefully share with a friend. But a similar question could be on how could you turn one episode or one guest into two? And the question that helped early on after turning off the recording is, do you know of anyone else who might be a good fit for the show? Because entrepreneurs tend to know other entrepreneurs. And that was a way that I've been able to connect with some other guests. You could also do that in kind of an email follow-up after their episode goes live. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. By the way, do you know of anybody else who might be a good fit for the show? Because those recommendations and introductions from guests have been great. For example, it was Jason Tan from Video Husky who introduced me to Ryan Golgoski from 180 Sites. Jock Hopkins from The Online Course Guy introduced me to Spencer Russell from a couple weeks ago. Another source of guests for me is the Side Hustle Nation community on Facebook. It's just a central hub. And by just listening and paying attention, you start to see people kind of coming out of the woodwork. That's how I've found Craig Odom and his backyard nursery / YouTube side hustle. That was a really interesting episode. I also get Google alerts for side hustle related keywords. And I think that's how I first came across Emily McDermott and her spreadsheet selling business on Etsy. That's episode 560. Somehow she came across my inbox in one of those feeds. And I can't remember if I asked somebody for an intro or, was able to just cold reach out and say, hey, incredible story. I want to hear more about it. Another source for me is Inbound. For full disclosure, it's mostly PR junk, but occasionally I'll get a compelling cold inbound pitch. Now, what happens more often is I see interesting stories and angles coming through the official application form. That's at sidehustlenation.com/pitch. If you want to apply to be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. That's where David Paxton from Daily Golf Steals in episode 583 came across my radar. I think that's where Kevin and Ben from Pretty Boy in episode 581 came across. They applied to be on the show and say, hey, this is a compelling angle. Let's make this happen. Now, another source is other podcasts where you're listening to another show and you hear somebody that might be a fit for yours. At least you know they're open to guesting if it's a fit. So it's like less of a stretch if you're doing cold outreach. And you probably don't want to air the exact same conversation. But if you have a slightly different angle, or if something was missing in your mind, maybe you want to go a little bit deeper, you want to explore something else, you might reach out. Or if you just know it's going to be a hit with your audience, then it's all fair game. I think that's how I connected with Shelley Marmer from Travel Mexico Solo. It was either she applied for the show, or I heard her interview on Niche Pursuits, or vice versa. Maybe she applied and then I went to listen to her episode. I was like, either way, this is going to be a great episode. Like, this is a crazy story. Just 3 years into it, making 50 grand a month with travel sites. Fantastic. And then lastly, there's directories like Podmatch, like podcastguests.com. These are sites where the quote unquote expert guests can get matched up with hosts. Question 11 was from Mihawk. Super similar question, just on the guesting side. She says, I own a CPA firm and specialize in real estate. The service-based revenue is consistent, but I'd like to be a guest on podcasts to get discovered. What's the best way to identify podcasts that would be mutually beneficial? So what I would recommend here is to create your dream 100 list, or maybe your dream 50 or dream 20 list. One thing you could do in most podcast apps, if you find one show that you know would be a fit, near the bottom, it'll show you other similar shows or shows that listeners also subscribe to help you kind of start building out that directory, start building out that list. And then what you want to do is work to come up with a relevant and compelling hook that hasn't been covered on the show or hasn't been covered recently. And it's worth spending some time on this because, number one, you don't want to burn bridges by sending a crappy templatized pitch. a friend of mine, bless his heart, he's always posting stuff like, I've guested on over 700 podcasts. Did you want my proven outreach template? Comment yes below and I'll send it to you. No, as a host, I do not want to be just another notch on your bedpost. I don't want to be number 702. Like, no, I promise to you, the top shows are getting pitched dozens of times a day and they can smell a template from a mile away. Make the extra effort and I'm confident you're going to see better results. Now, interestingly, and I think I've shared this before, some of the best pitches I get are from engineers. They're super straightforward. They often have bullet points of what they hope to share. And those bullet points are actually good. They're not just like fluffy mindset marketing nuggets. Matt Boknock and Jock Hopkins are two that come to mind who sent really good cold outreach. And both of them have been on the show multiple times as a result. There's also those podcast directories that I mentioned a moment ago as another angle to kind of set up your profile and say, hey, I am available as an expert guest if you're looking for somebody to speak to this topic. And the other tactic that I'll add here is picking a niche. So you mentioned I'm a CPA specializing in real estate. I've got to imagine there are a ton of real estate investor communities like Bigger Pockets, but I'm sure a bunch of smaller niche ones too, where there might be an opportunity to establish yourself as the go-to CPA in that group, especially if they're just getting started. And naturally, when there's a tax-related question, you're going to be the one getting tagged. You're going to be the one getting the calls, not just for podcast guest appearances, but for actual client work, right? Like that's the end goal. And I've seen this work a bunch of times in the communities that I'm a part of for specialties like virtual assistant services, like podcast editing, like WordPress support, like Facebook ads. It's real. It's organic. Now, it takes time to kind of be active and engaged and answer people's questions in that group, but super, super effective. More great questions and hopefully more great answers right after this. Earning a living directly from your audience is one of the most sustainable ways for creators to build a business. And you don't need a huge following to do it with the help of our sponsor, Kajabi. You've heard several Side Hustle Show guests recommend Kajabi over the years, most recently Spencer Russell in episode 584. But let me give you a quick rundown of what it's all about. So Kajabi is an all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like you build successful recurring revenue online businesses with online courses, with membership sites and communities, personalized coaching, subscription podcasts, and more. Plus, under the hood, you've got detailed analytics so you can figure out what's working and what's not. You got marketing tools like email, third-party integrations, and easy payment options. You don't need a huge audience to make sustainable income. In fact, there are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures annually with less than 50,000 followers. Right now, Kajabi is offering a 30-day free trial to start your own business if you go to kajabi.com/sidehustle. That's kajabi.com/sidehustle. Go to kajabi.com/sidehustle to earn more doing what you love. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Question 12, also related to podcasting. Isaac says, I represent a PR agency. I'm reaching out to you about the Side Hustle Show podcast because we are regularly in need of podcast placements for our clients on different podcast channels. Well, Isaac, I hate to break it to you, but your need is not relevant to me at all. Here's what I need. I need Side Hustle success stories that are relatable, repeatable, or just plain interesting. I need to serve this amazing audience, not give your clients, who hopefully aren't paying you very much, a podcast placement. Got to reframe the pitch. Always remember, what's in it for me? What's in it for the person you're reaching out to? And this is why, if you're considering hiring a PR company to do your podcast outreach for you, you got to do some serious vetting because agencies like Isaac are striking out. Question 13 was from Kendall. Wanted to get your thoughts on a company called Quick Dry. They have franchise opportunities where you do carpet and upholstery cleaning, as well as additional add-ons like tile and grout, hardwood floor cleaning, and air duct cleaning. Well, Kendall, the way I see it, I see two main advantages of franchises. Number one is systems, and number two is brand recognition. In this case, at least for me, I don't recognize the brand Quick Dry in the same way that I would recognize a 1-800-GOT-JUNK or even a Stanley steamer, if we want to keep it in the carpet cleaning niche. So the next question is, if you like the opportunity in carpet cleaning, is how much is it going to cost to learn the skills and systems, the sales and operations, and acquire the provided equipment on your own? And is that going to be less than the upfront franchise fee plus ongoing license fee? Because there's this upfront cost with a franchise, which sometimes can be tens of thousands of dollars. Not sure what it is with Quick Dry or more. Like, I think some franchises are hundreds of thousands of dollars or more. But then you also have this ongoing license fee where you're out there doing the work and you're kind of sending money to corporate, you know, for use of their branding and materials and systems and processes. Like, well, is that going to be worth it? Could you do it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So make sure to talk to other franchisees and not just the ones cherry-picked by the company to say nice things. You want to get an honest look at what that experience is going to be like. Question 14 was from Danielle. Is there a cheat sheet for deciding which side hustle to focus on first, then second, then third? I've got a list of ideas and keep splitting my time and attention between all of them, and I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Yes, Danielle, I'm kind of with you here. Simplify first, diversify second, because dividing your attention in a bunch of different directions, like you said, it's a recipe for going nowhere fast, for spinning your wheels. So I actually do have a cheat sheet or a worksheet for this inside my Start My Side Hustle course. But let me give you the basic idea here, and shout out to Nathan in the Facebook group because he outlined something really similar. So what you want to do is put your three competing ideas or however many you have across the top of your sheet. And then in the left-hand column, you've got your list of questions like, how excited am I about this? How quickly can I see results? How scalable is it? How sellable is it? What are the startup costs? How much time is it going to take to run? Is this something I could see myself doing long-term? And then you can add in other questions too, based on what decision factors are important to you. And then for each of those questions and for each of the side hustles you're considering, you give each one a number score. I tend to use a baseball scoring system of 1 through 4, single, double, triple, home run, with 4 being the best, home run being the best. And then you add them all up in the column with the highest score wins. That's the side hustle you should objectively focus on. Of course, it's still really a subjective decision. And if your gut is pulling you a different way, listen to that. I think that's important. Question 15 is from Lenny. He asks, what's the latest with the YouTube channel? Seems like there's a lot of potential there. Yes, definitely a lot of potential. And unfortunately, still not a lot of time focused on it. At this point, I've got Ava, my video assistant, sharing the podcast episodes there. YouTube has become a podcast discovery engine of sorts. They don't get huge viewership. I'm not winning the viral lottery, but she's slicing up some short form clip videos as well. Some of those do pretty well. And actually, a couple of months ago, my YouTube account was slapped with an invalid traffic violation of some sort. They're like, your people are leaving this tab open all day and driving up our ad costs or something. It's like, well, I'm doing the same thing I've been doing for years. I don't know if I have anything new to drive invalid traffic. And maybe people are legit listening to the podcast all day long. Like, that's not on me. In any case, it didn't seem to impact the viewership, but it did drop the ad revenue by about 80%, which was pretty demotivating. It has rebounded a little bit lately, so I'll keep an eye on it. Maybe the traffic is valid again. Who knows? So YouTube will continue to be part of the strategy, especially when it comes to complementing existing website article content. And the reason for that is I think it's a powerful way to add value to your articles, number one. And number two, to potentially double dip in the search results. If you can get both your article and video ranking for the same keywords, you take up more screen real estate. It looks really authoritative. Question 16 was about the reading list. Read any good books lately? Haven't read a ton of businessy books this year. One recent one was called 10X is Easier Than 2X by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. I read a couple of his. The other one was like The Gap and the Gain, which how talked about how if you're living in the gap, you're just visualizing where you are versus where you want to be, then you're going to be constantly depressed and unhappy because you're like, well, you can only focus on the gap. Instead, he argues, you ought to live in the gain. Like, look how far I've come and look where I was a year ago or look where I was 5 years ago. But the premise of this book, 10X is easier than 2X, is if you're thinking 2X, you're looking for incremental improvement, marginal gains. But if you're thinking 10X, what got you here isn't going to get you there. So it requires this totally different mindset and approach. He makes the argument it's actually easier to execute. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but I do agree that that kind of constraint can definitely spark some new ideas. Like, okay, if I want a 2X, I can do more of the same. But if I want a 10X, things are going to have to be fundamentally different. The other one, my favorite book of the year so far, was this historical nonfiction book called The Wager. This is the type of book that my wife has zero interest in. I'm like, I got to go read about shipwrecks. I don't remember who recommended it, but thank you. It's got like 13,000 reviews on Amazon. It's this real life story of a mid 18th century British naval voyage gone horribly wrong and the subsequent shipwreck. That was just fascinating. Crazy what these guys went through, trying to sail around South America in absolutely brutal conditions, disease and weather, and this like struggle and willpower to survive and the power dynamics of a crew stranded and starving on this freezing little island and how they fight to get home. I loved it. Love reading stories like these because it just gives you this glimpse, this firsthand material glimpse into what life was like not that long ago, historically speaking, and how amazingly different and slow and hard it was compared to what we have now. And that just fills me with gratitude to be alive today. Again, that was The Wager. You can go check that one out. Question 17 was, how's your Amazon influencer side hustle going? So not amazing, but not awful either. Nice little incremental income stream, usually 50 to 100 bucks a month. But I haven't done a great job of adding new videos lately. It was funny. I was chatting with somebody at a podcaster's meetup about it. And I told her, hey, have you heard about this? I'm making 50 to 100 bucks a month. Great little side hustle. And she was like, well, how many videos do you have? I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe 30. She was like, well, there's your problem. She went on to explain that she already knew about the program, yes, and was earning a couple grand a month, but she had like 500 videos. So I had to ask, well, what happens when you run out of stuff in your house to review? Oh, I just go to my friend's house and review their stuff. And well, oh, that's one creative way to get content. Plus, after a certain level, brands are going to start reaching out to you to get stuff and you get free items to review. You just have to disclose that in your video. Go check out our Amazon influencer episode from earlier in the year. Definitely one of the more interesting side hustles, or the newest side hustles of the year. But one cool thing here in our house is we started to do was have the kids help review their toys. And it started unprompted when our five-year-old, he made this awesome, breathlessly narrated video introducing his Squishmallows. It was adorable. So I'll go and I check out that a few of those are actually for sale on Amazon. So we made videos for those. And then we added some of their Lego kits as well. And they're going to earn 100% of the commissions from those videos, which I think is a really fun and easy way to start them getting involved with online business. Now, every day they're asking me, well, let's check the stats. Do we make any sales today? They're at $3.12 so far. This is not going to put them through college, but it's passive income from the internet. It's a beautiful thing at 5 and 7. And question 18 is actually from my son, my oldest son, the other day. He asked me, who's the richest person that you know? And so I thought about it for a while and I said, well, I'm lucky to know a lot of rich people through my work, but one thing they all have in common is that they're business owners. And just trying to take every opportunity to plant the seeds of entrepreneurship here and there. This is the same kid who planned to be a rich guy for Halloween. What does a rich guy wear, you might ask, because I certainly did. And the answer started with a large gold chain necklace. This is our life right now. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Notes and links to all the resources mentioned are at sidehustlenation.com/Q&A15. If you're new to the show, you can get your own personalized money-making playlist at hustle.show. Thousands of listeners have already claimed theirs. Make sure to get yours next. All you got to do is answer a few short multiple choice questions, and I'll give you that custom curated playlist that you can add to your device. You can learn what works and you can go out and make some more money. Once again, that's at hustle.show. Big thanks to everyone who submitted questions this round. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.